I thank you for the opportunity to be here today. I've known Jerry for 45 years or more. We worked at Hiawatha, I don't know how many years together, because I was actually there before him. I'm a little older than he is, so I don't know how old he is actually right now. I did it a long time ago, but we've kind of separated, okay? So let me introduce a little bit about myself. I was born in Africa. My parents were missionaries. And so why am I working in Africa? Well, partly my dad's vision a long time ago. I've never returned to that country. I spent the first 13 years in Chad, which is one of the most, worst countries in every category in the world, pretty much. But I haven't had the opportunity, kind of waiting for the invitation. And my wife went with me this past May to one of the countries that I work in, and that was her first time. So anyway, I returned to Africa in 2001. I work with One Challenge Missions. International is called One Challenge International. A lot of people know about it on the West Coast. It's kind of a big mission, and it's worth, for those of you that are interested in missions, to look at their website and follow them. I've really enjoyed working with them. I started as a part-time. We worked with sports ambassadors, and sports has been the door to open, opportunities. And people, you know, and I can share a little bit about that. So I'm kind of sharing my testimony before we get going to show you where I'm at and why I'm sharing what I'm sharing today. So sports, Jerry and I really love sports, and we are involved in it. I'm more of a basketball player, and he's more of a baseball player, that kind of thing. So anyway, we went and separated our lives. We used to do a lot of things together. We went to conferences together, and we went to Moody Pastors Conference. And I share that because part of the sermon in there, the Psalms 23 part, is from a guy that we got to hear, and one of the greatest sermons, I think Jerry would attest to this, that we've ever heard in our lives, and we got to hear it in live and in color, and this man's now in heaven. So it's kind of, and I'm sure I can't do it justice like he did, but hopefully the Spirit can bless you in this opportunity. Anyway, I've been through 10 surgeries and 2 open hearts, and between that and being born in Africa has given me some open doors that are unbelievable. I'm working in 20 countries, and how do I do that? Obviously, I don't stay there, but anyway, it's complicated, and I gladly just sharing this to help you understand that God is using, and we're actually working on some staff people to meet some of those needs. And we're trying to, the largest unreached group in Africa is women. And so one of the areas that we want to focus on besides the sports. But I just came back from a trip working with the top 20 coaches in that country, and trying to teach them how to coach and compete biblically. People don't think about that. Now, when I was playing with Jerry, we didn't think about that. So it's kind of like, you know, we just do our thing and trash talk and all that kind of junk. But you know what? There is a pattern, and God has biblical principles in there, and we get to share those things and teach them how to compete and at a higher level, actually, because we're created in God. God created us, and he made us to function in certain ways, and so that's what we do, and that opens doors, and Africa is open to it. The United States is still separated from, you know, sports and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, we kind of do our own thing. You come to church, and that's different than out there. We behave differently. And I could say that in here because a lot of you have come here because you don't like the formalized church as per se. You want something more natural. Though I look kind of formal today, don't I? I need that to cover all these wires, you know, I think. Anyway, the topic that we're going to talk about today, since it's God, it's very reverent. So I want to kind of lead into it and say this. It's, you know, it's a careful subject. It's a holy subject. And so I'm a little formal because of that. We need to respect. We're living in a generation that are really disrespecting God in our conversation and everything that we do. And I know that you appreciate that. So as we get into this, we're going to talk about El Shaddai. And one of the things, see, sports, you can talk, a lot of these people that do their ministries, they talk about everything else but God. Think about it. And what's the number one thing we need to do is teach people about who God is. And that's one of the problems that people have. So God's given me a burden. This is the first of a series that I'm working on in God. You know, like my Redeemer, that would be another one. Emmanuel would be another one. You take his names and go through it and really help them understand, because one sermon is not going to, what I tell you today is not all God. That's a very small part, right? I don't have time. And even if I did have time, and I've known to talk for 8 hours in Africa, so don't worry, I'm not talking that long today. But I'm saying that still would not cover God, would it? I think you know that. So if you want any of this stuff, you already have it, so you have access to it, and I just want you to encourage you. We will not be able to read every verse, but a lot of those verses you already know. And so we're just going to skim over them, but we're not skimming over like we usually do, like the 23rd Psalm. Because, you know, we've gone over a lot of verses. One of my pet peeves is, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. And that's one of those verses, oh yeah, I understand that. And you go on to something else. But I could go on for a sermon just on that one, because we've skimmed over it. And we really haven't thought about the depths of it to understand why we should live differently every day. So that's what we hope to do today. So El Shaddai is my topic today, and that's his name. And his name is the All-Sufficient One. He's all-sufficient in every need. So as you, if you just keep moving, as soon as I say the word, you can go to the next slide, because I'll be going pretty fast through this. All right. I want to read this quote to you because it's kind of sets the tone for this morning. Summarizing a quote from Dr. Lloyd-Jones, I'm sure that Jerry, it's one of Jerry's favorite, or one of his top, Bible teachers. Our language is too small, too inadequate, too unworthy. Our very terms and categories are polluted by sin. So that, in a sense, anything we may say about God detracts from his glory. Therefore, it follows of necessity that the moment you and I try to consider or to understand anything that God does in this world is very difficult. Now, I'm going to read a lot more than most sermons they tell you to do, because I think this is a very serious topic, and I don't want to miss a word or, you know, all this communication struggles that we all go through. It's amazing. Well, guess what? My wife and I were talking this morning when we came about communication. So communication is a problem in all of our lives, and it's in sports also. So let's pray. And I want for the correct words and wisdom this morning. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for this day, and we thank you for what you've done in each one of these lives. We thank you for this opportunity. And just use these words to refresh, to encourage, to inspire those that are here today. Because you are the great I am. You are the one before. You know everything. You know our lives. You know where we're going. You know our future. And we thank you for loving us. And we give you the praise for what you've done. In your precious name. Amen. So, as we look on, what does El Shaddai mean? Right. El Shaddai does not need anyone or anything to exist. The problem is that I was going for a, what do you call it, the clicking thing, and so I should have not done that for our this morning. Anyway, it also means that we do not need anything but El Shaddai. He is all we need, and we do not need anyone or anything else to exist. Do we know him? Do we really know him? I think that's something that we struggle with a lot. All right? There is nothing God needs. God doesn't need us, but he wants us. And he wants to use us. El Shaddai first appears in Scripture in Genesis 17, 1 through 2. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. But if you remember, Sarah was barren and long past the age of childbearing. How could they have hoped to have a son? But with God, all things are possible. And why? Because he, El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. All-sufficient one. It is the only El Shaddai that can fulfill his word to Jacob. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come forth from you. Throughout the book of Job, we see God referred to as El Shaddai, which is interesting. A book of suffering, isn't it? God is able enough and wants to provide us with new mercies and blessings each day. The key verse, I would say, in this whole particular talk is that Acts 17:28a says, for in him, El Shaddai, we live, we move, and have our being. Do we know him? And I'm going to take it a step further. Do we love him? What does God need? Obviously nothing. What do we need? Well, physically, we need several things here. His breath, his nutrition, his rest, his water, his strength, his concentration, his victory in our daily walk. What do we need spiritually? His love, his joy, his peace, his patience, his goodness, his kindness, his gentleness, his faithfulness, and his self-control. Sociologically, we need his safety and shelter, his clothing, his love and to love, his reason to be for us to be, and his forgiveness and to forgive. We need him for literally everything. So do we know him? Do we love him? Let us continue to look at God's word in John 6, 1 through 14. Also in Mark 6, 30 through 44, we see the story of the feeding of the 5,000, which you're familiar with. And in Matthew 15, 32 through 38, and Mark 8, 1 through 10, the story of the 4,000 men. Now, I don't have time to get into all of it, but the need was that the crowd had traveled for 3 days without food. And this is one of those classic pictures, probably when we were all younger. The only resources they have available was 5 and 7 loaves, depending on the story, of bread and a few fishes. But Jesus, El Shaddai, provided the need for all who were there with 12 baskets left over, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And on the east of Jordan, Where the seven non-Jewish tribes lived, Jesus provided the need for the 4,000 with the seven baskets left over, representing those seven tribes. El Shaddai provides for our needs to overflowing. Do we know him? Do we love him? Now, sometimes we get confused of what needs are and what wants are. So sometimes that's an area of meditation in our lives. But this is part of that sermon that I was telling you about, that Jerry and I had the privilege of sitting in the front row and listening to this man speak. So I'm going to take you through it. I shall not want for rest, for he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I shall not want for refreshment, for he leadeth me beside the still waters. I shall not want for salvation, for he restoreth my soul. I shall not want for guidance and comfort, for he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I shall not want for companionship, for yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I shall not want for food or sustenance, for thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. I shall not want for joy, for thou anointest my head with oil. I shall not want for supply, for my cup runneth over. I shall not want for any good thing in this life, for surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall not want for anything in this world or that is to come, for I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do we know him? Do we love him? In conclusion, God is sufficient. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere, and never changes. He knows and meets all our needs. He is able to handle all of our sin. He protects us from all our enemies. He will handle all our physical and emotional and social and spiritual needs. He knows our future. Now, what do we do with this information? Well, we need to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love our neighbor as ourself. Worship him. Obey him. The world is waiting and needing you and I to share El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, that can meet every possible need we have or they have. So let us go this week and make a difference in this world, not in 5 or 10 years, but starting today. Luke 12:48 says, to whom much is given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom much is entrusted, they will demand the more. May God bless and continue to bless as you live out these words every day. Now I'm going to see if this one video will work. It'll be on the next one. See if that... I don't know if it'll allow that. It might not. Yeah, I thought when we did it on the, what would you call it? The thumb drive, flash drive, it wasn't going to work anyway. A lot of times I have to speak this particular sermon and there has to be a translator. So it takes a lot longer in those contexts. But it's still important for us to understand that he's our provisioner. He's the one that takes care of everything that we have. This is the number one name of God. If you were going to say this is, if you wanted somebody to recognize him, this is the main name, I guess, is what we need to understand. And I never realized that for probably 50 some years or 60 some years, maybe even. I've never realized that, and blessed to find out that particular just insight to it. Now, I know the needs are different from Africa to here, but not only that, even in this room, there's such variety. God is such a personal God. He created us for a special reason. You're here for a special purpose, and a lot bigger than you think. Let me say that. There are things that you can do that God has planned, that you can make a great impact on this world. Not just, what would you call it, Norton Shores? Is that what it is? Muskegon. More than even Muskegon. Because of our interrelational things, they say we're connected within four people to everybody in the world. That's how close we are. And if that's true, all of us can impact the world from where we're at. And it's amazing what God has special for you. We're not the same. And that's the beautiful thing. We're all created differently with different gifts and different opportunities. I can't tell you what that is in your life. I don't know what God has planned for you. But I just want to encourage you to live out the part and to know and to spend time with Him, to learn more about Him. Because we can't share that truth with other people if we don't have a relationship with Him. And I'm not talking about just praying and reading the Bible and meditating, and all those things are important, but really having a significant relationship that where you're working together as a common goal, and your primary goal is ministry. You may not be working full-time like I do, but I was a teacher for 25 years of my life. But even then, I kind of snuck over because I started as a history teacher, and then eventually I became a Bible teacher. So, because God had a plan for me, and that plan was to give out the word a little more often, you know, in a little bit more organized fashion to make a difference. And when I was a little boy in Africa, with self-esteem problems, especially when I came back to the States, integrating into this culture, people weren't very kind always to me in the church. You know, and fortunately, I had a friend that kind of brought me into the fold. And it was that context that I started growing, and then eventually I met Jerry, and I went to Hiawatha, and those things all God used to form me and to bring me to where I'm at today, working in 20 countries and having impact with some people that are, what would you call, leaders in their country. So who am I? I'm nothing big or special, but God is using something simple. You know, and in fact, for those of you that are involved in sports, I won't quiz you or anything. I'm just actually training top teams. I mean, I'm like basketball, X's and O's and stuff. And the funny thing is, a lot of it's just fundamentals. And they're wanting me back more and more. And several of the teams and coaches have gotten better jobs, and they moved up levels. And it's not like I'm dealing with some kind of phenomenal knowledge that I'm giving, you know. Because I try to tell them at a clinic, you know, if I was good and could just touch you and then you know everything. But I said, everybody wants that. You know, they come to a clinic, they want to know, and they want to become something. And the problem is, it doesn't work that way. You have to work. And God has a plan for them just like He has for me. And so I just, in that process, I try to teach them, I understand, you know, if it would work that way, I could sit at home and people would come and visit me, you know, just to get touched, but it doesn't work that way. So They get the message, and I just want to encourage you that God can use you to touch lives right where you're at. And there are many people that need you, just a word of encouragement, just a listening ear, even thinking about them and praying for them, those things. So anyway, I just want to thank you for this time that I've been able to share this with you. I thank you for your objectives of this church. We need more churches like this that are not coming in to and do their little, what would you call it, program and then walk out here. Appreciate the music this morning, and the realness of your church. So can I pray for you today? And I just want to pray for you and Jerry and the ministry here. All right? Dear Jesus, we thank you so much that you are El Shaddai, that you have been and always will be, that you are involved in every detail of our lives. You understand the past. You know where we're at. We can't hide from you. But yet, you have a plan for our future, even starting after this service. And so, Lord, we're thankful.